I can't thank you enough for all the wonderful things that you have done for me in the week I've been here, the fellowship, the friendship, getting to get reacquainted with some of you from years past, meeting new folks here in the church, the blessing of being with some of the greatest people you're ever going to rub shoulders with in your life. My heroes are missionaries, and I just thank the Lord that we've had a good group of missionaries this week. Amen. Amen. What tremendous blessings they've been to us, what tremendous testimonies they have as God has led them from place to place, met their needs, and even beyond their needs, even given them some of their wants. That's the kind of God that we have. When we're faithful to Him, He is more than faithful to us. And I'm so thankful that I have a God who cares for us and loves me personally, but loves us together as a body of Christ. I really enjoyed my dinner today. I was in the home of the Cotton Gims. I want to call them Cotton Gin. But where's Brother and Mrs. Cotton Gim? Are they here? There she is. You don't mind if I call you Cotton Gin, do you? Because that's easier for me to remember. But what a wonderful meal we had and a great time of fellowship there in their home this afternoon for a little while, and then just to get prepared for tonight. Tonight's message is so interesting how God does things. You've already been introduced to my message tonight because it's been all about prayer. The greatest thing that you can do for a missionary is pray for a missionary. I remember when Don and his wife contacted us at Baptist World Mission, and I told our people in San Francisco about his condition. We had all pretty much thought that we needed to be praying for his dear wife, that God would give her the strength to bury her husband, because we were told there was no possible way he could ever survive this terrible, terrible disease, and that it would be a slow, painful death, but it would be certain death. Well, the problem with all that is the doctors didn't talk to God about that. And thousands of people began to pray for you, dear folks. And I'm so thankful to know that they're in Germany, going back to Germany, serving the Lord there. They're excited about being able to go back. And our God is a great God. One of the things that strikes me is that many times, well-meaning prayers go up for missionaries, but oftentimes they're so general that we very seldom see anything happen from our prayers. I have preached the message here the last two times I was here on the subject of prayer. I am going to do the same thing tonight, going a little bit different from what I've done in the past. I struggle with it a little bit today and this week, actually, being thinking about what I'm going to do tonight, because the Lord wanted me to close our service with this subject. I have two basic messages that I preach on this subject at a closing of a service. And I feel that this is the most important because, again, this is how God takes care of the needs of our missionaries, how He keeps them on the field, how He encourages them, how He heals them, how He comforts them. And so tonight, as we think about this, let me challenge you to learn to pray for your missionaries specifically so you can get specific answers to your prayers. I'm sure that general prayers are better than no prayers. But the best prayers are the ones that really deal with the subject at hand, with the situation the missionary may be looking at that very moment. And so we need to learn to pray specifically. How do we get to do that? Getting to know our missionaries. These are just not non-entities. They're just not names on a plaque somewhere or on a mission map somewhere. These are living beings who represent you from Thompson Road Baptist Church to whatever field they happen to be in. And you ought to be praying for them as those who hold the ropes to encourage them in the Lord and to learn specifically what it is that they need to have specific prayers for. And when you do that, here's an exciting thing. You're going to see specific prayers answered. We've seen it time and time again. I was in a missions conference not too long ago when a missionary from Vanuatu made this comment. He said, "It's your prayers that provide spiritual power for our ministry." Think about that. It's your prayers that provide the missionary the spiritual power that's necessary to do the ministry that God has called them to. Yes, the money helps keep them on the field, but I can tell you this, your prayer will keep them on the field longer than your money will keep them on the field. Well, I didn't even get an amen out of that. I thought that was pretty good. Amen, Ron. That was a good point. Your prayer will keep our missionaries on the field greater than any money that you can give them, although that's important. But we must be men and women of prayer for our missionaries. So I have a couple of questions for you. How do you pray for your missionaries? Do you pray in generalities? Not only how do you pray, but do you pray? Do you even pray for your missionaries? Are they a passing thought that just comes into your mind and out of it just so quickly that you hardly remember that you thought about it? Do you really pray for them? Do you pray for them by name? Do you pray for the children by name? Do you pray for the husband by name? Do you pray for the wife by name? Or are you just, dear God, bless our missionaries. We're so thankful for them. Amen. That's not going to do anything. That just tells God you're thankful for them. But if you're really thankful for them, you're going to know what you need to be praying about for them. So you can demonstrate that thankfulness. And so it brings another question. Why do you pray? You say prayer is our direct link to God Almighty, to the throne of God. We have direct access. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to get the pastor's permission. We don't have to have a deacon's meeting and let them tell us that after we've talked about it and had this committee meeting, well, yeah, I think it's okay for you to pray to God. God says we can come boldly to the throne of grace through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that direct access that can be taken at any moment, anywhere at all in all the world, at any time. So I thank the Lord that we have this access. When I think about the Apostle Paul, who was the first missionary of the New Testament, I discover that he was dependent upon the prayer of God's people. There are six passages of Scripture I want us to look at briefly tonight to give us a little insight about the reality of prayer in Paul's life and the value that he placed upon prayer in his own ministry. And so as he was going about, he asked the churches to pray for him. He gave them requests so that they could know what his needs were. And I think that's one of the reasons that the church at Philippi helped him on more than one occasion. You see, they communicated with him. They said, Paul, what are you needing today? What are some of the struggles you're facing today? How's your health? Are all your needs being met? What about your enemies? Are you getting victory over your enemies? Are you able to speak boldly for the cause of Jesus Christ in the face of ungodly men? They began to communicate. In that communication, they learned how to pray specifically for this man of God. We need to practice that in 21st century missions through our 21st century churches to learn to know what is going on in the lives of our missionaries. So the first scripture I want us to look at very briefly tonight is found in the 15th chapter of the book of Romans. So turn with me there. I'm going to wait till you all get to your scriptures tonight. Romans chapter 15, because these verses of Scripture are extremely important when it comes to the matter of praying for our missionaries. Romans, the 15th chapter, and I want us to look at a couple of verses beginning at verse 30. So Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Again, Paul is asking the churches to pray for him, and he gives these requests because there's insight that's given that are necessary things that Paul wants us to pray for in order that we might pray effectively for his ministry. Romans 15, look at verse 30. Now I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. A couple of things I want you to understand here tonight. First of all, this scripture is addressed to believers. It's important for us to understand the only people that are going to pray effectively for missionaries are people who are born again of the Spirit of God. This is not something you can leave up to the outside world. This is our responsibility. And not only is it our responsibility, it is our privilege to pray for our missionaries. Paul uses a very interesting word here in this scripture, the first verse, when he says, strive with me in praying. That is a term that is used for the Olympics and for wrestling particularly. It's the idea of a runner who's running for the gold, not the bronze, not the silver, but running for the gold. And he strains with every fiber of his being to be the first one to cross the line. Or it's that wrestler who's wrestling for the gold, and he uses every ounce of his strength to win the prize so that he might go away winning the gold. It's that kind of strength that's given. I wonder how many of us have ever prayed like that. Something to think about, isn't it? Have you ever spent all night in prayer? There were nights that we had in our church back in San Francisco for a long period of time where we would have one night a week that we'd meet with our men and pray all night long. That was such a blessed time. We had a tremendous opportunity week after week to put our petitions before the Lord. And there were 12 to 20 of us every Friday night that we'd get together. And for a long period of time, we'd meet and pray all night long. Those were blessed times. God met with us, and we met with God. Everything else was put aside, and we concentrated on finding out how God wanted to work in our lives. What a blessing it is for us to pray. We need to strive like that runner, like that wrestler. And notice when he prays, he said, I'm asking you to strive in prayer for me for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the love of the Holy Spirit, that God might use me powerfully against the kind of men I'm going to be facing. Notice what he says here, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Do you know those people in Judea who did not believe were his enemies? They were out to shut him up. And so Paul says, pray that my enemies will be destroyed, that they'll be kept silent so that I can preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in the face of this terrible, powerful opposition. You see, real prayer is work, and real prayer that's work works. It produces results for the glory of God. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, turn with me there, please. The first chapter of 2 Corinthians. Again, Paul is praying and asking this church at Corinth if they will pray for him. I find it interesting that in the first book of Corinthians, he's dealing with the sin of this carnal church, and evidently that sin was taken care of, because now he comes to the second book that he writes to them, and in the first chapter, he encourages them to pray with him. I'm so thankful that God's able to deliver us from carnality, from our flesh, from ourselves. And so here in this first chapter of 2 Corinthians, begin with me at verse 8. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given to many on our behalf. Ye also helping with us together by what?
Prayer.
By prayer. Here Paul is talking about the fact that missionaries face trouble. Paul faced all kinds of trouble. You can read in Corinthians some of the testimony that he has about a shipwreck, about stoning, about opposition, about persecution, about being thrown in prison, all kinds of things that have taken place in his life. And yet, he never quit. Why? Because somebody, somewhere, was praying faithfully for him to deliver him from his troubles. I find that word trouble to be interesting because it means to be hemmed in. I'm sure the Vanderhoofs felt hemmed in at times. Where do we go from here? I mean, it's like everything's closing in on us, and we've been praying before God, but God, are you hearing us? Do you understand what's going on? And obviously he does. But our missionaries tonight, all over the world, there are some of our missionaries tonight who are feeling hemmed in by the enemy, who feel that the opposition is so great that they're not sure they're going to be able to withstand it. And the only way they're going to be able to get the victory is if we are on our knees before God and praying that they will be delivered from those circumstances, that they will be freed from that being hemmed in, from the trouble that they're facing. And out of that trouble, they become more like Jesus Christ. Earlier this week, I was telling you that I believe one of the marks of maturity in the Christian life is when we can thank God for the valleys, the troubles that we go through. Because you see, it's in your trouble that you grow. No one ever grew on the mountaintop that I know of. The mountaintop is to look back on the beauty, to see how wonderful it is. If you've ever driven mountain roads, you know, narrow, curvy mountain roads, and if you're like my wife, she hates those roads. I love those roads. But, you know, after a while, it gets a little tedious. And so to kind of make things a little more exciting, I try to get over a little bit over the edge, and she'll, Danny, get over it. But it gets, even after a while, even though as much as I love it and enjoy it and have fun with it, truth of the matter is, when I get to the top, I'm glad I'm there, because that was tough work. And I thought all that time coming up that mountainside, You know, I'll be glad when I get to the top. We got to the top. We look back. We thought, wow, look at how pretty it is down there. You're going through some trouble today. Maybe that's happening in your life today. And you're saying, I don't know if I can get through this. I'm going to say this to you. You can't get through it. But Jesus can get you through it. You turn to Him in prayer. You ask Him for guidance. You ask Him for the power that you need to get through this troublesome time, this hemmed-in feeling. And when He takes you to the mountaintop, you're going to look back and say, wow, that wasn't so bad after all. Remember this. The God of the mountaintop is the God of the valley. And somehow or other, in my life, I know it's true, that He seems to be more God to me in the valley than the mountaintop. You see, in the valley, when there are only one set of footprints, it's not because He's left you. It's because He's carried you. Thank God for a God who loves us that much. So we need to ask that they be delivered from their circumstances, their troubles, their hemmed-in feeling. He said here, I've been pressed out of measure. And if you go to the 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, you'll see some of the things that caused him to feel pressed out of measure. He said, things are happening to me that are above my strength. I don't have the strength to deal with these things. There are times when I've just despaired of my life, when I just wanted to quit living, when I wanted just to end it all because it just seemed impossible to take the next step. I mentioned earlier this week about the young man, the teenager, who took his life as a missionary kid. That was Wednesday. I want to be very careful when I talk about this with missionary kids in the audience. That in itself was an experience that I will never forget. Having been personally involved with that young man, realizing there was something wrong with him. You see, he and his family lived way north. There are no other teenagers. There were no other young people that he could fellowship with, you know, sit down and play basketball with, shoot hockey with. None of them were there. He despaired of life till he took his life. I was visiting a missionary family in Europe, and I shared this testimony with the kids and the family one night, and the young man in the family said, Pastor Ron, I could tell you about 10 of us who've talked about that. You think your prayers aren't important? It might save the life of some missionary kid. We must pray. Pray that God will deliver them through their troubles, that their troubles will not overwhelm them. Notice in verse 9, he felt that he would die for the sake of the gospel. None of us can trust in ourselves. We must put our complete trust in God Almighty. If we trust in ourselves, then probably we're going to mess it up. But God never messes it up. God always brings Himself powerfully into our lives to demonstrate to us what it is He's trying to teach us and to deliver us from the most difficult circumstances. He said, I cannot trust myself. Therefore, while Paul may have despaired of Paul, God never despaired of Paul. And God will never despair of you. He loves you. He gave His Son for you. And He's here for you to be delivered from whatever feeling you may have of being in trouble or being hemmed in. Our God is able to deliver you. Then notice verse 10, that God alone is able to deliver us from ourselves, our discouragement, our loneliness, our fears, our frustration. Let me say this to you very quickly. Our missionaries need to be prayed for with regard to being delivered from themselves. It is very easy to get in the flesh on the mission field. It really is. You say, well, how do you know that, Brother Ron? Because I know how easy it is for me to get in the flesh here. And there's nobody watching them. I mean, they're out there on their own. Of course, God's watching them. But what I'm meaning is they have nobody else to really answer to. They don't have to answer anybody like you do to each other, or a pastor, or deacons, or Sunday school teachers, bus workers, whatever. You know, we have people that can look at us, and we're answerable to them. But a missionary is out there by himself, and it can be very easy to get in the flesh. Pray that God will deliver them from the flesh. Many times we've heard the testimony tonight. Our missionaries experience sicknesses on the fields that doctors here in the United States don't know a thing about. I've heard story after story of a missionary who came home with something wrong, and the doctors here were perplexed. It took months to figure out what was going on. And many times there are diseases that come from another field that we've never dealt with here. Amoebas, for example, that get into the skin, get into the bloodstream. And our doctors have to learn how to handle all of that. Thank God they're getting better at it and have gotten much better at it. But I've heard horror stories until finally they find out what was going on. But God knows all about that. It's easy to get in the flesh. It's easy to say, you know, I just want to quit. This is too much. This is too difficult. One of the things I really encourage you to pray for your missionaries that they'll finish deputation, like the Evans family tonight. Can you imagine they've been on deputation, what, did they say 3.5, 4 years, 5 years already, which is the average now is 5 years to get a missionary to the mission field? I'll tell you what, I'm not sure if I could handle 5 years on deputation. I think I would want to quit. I think I'd want to say in the flesh, God, I can't do this anymore. So pray that they'll finish deputation. Any missionaries you know on deputation, whether you support them or not, pray they finish deputation. It's a very difficult time. It's a time of making or breaking. And believe me, the devil would love to break them. So if you pray specifically for that, though, guess what? You've given them armor. You've put a hedge about them. You've shown the devil that there are people that are upholding them to see that they finish the work they're called to do. Notice also in verse 11, he says, your prayers help. He says, I can't do anything for missions without your prayers. Paul reminded them that their prayers were extremely important because, you see, he said to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we are workers together, we are helpers together. And so we are to pray to help one another. Somebody says, you know, preacher, there's not really much I can do for missions. I mean, I can't give and I'm too old to go, or, you know, it's just not anything. There's really nothing much I can do. Let me ask you this. Can you pray? Can you pray? Is there anybody here that can't pray? You see, you all can do something for world evangelism. You all can pray. And so Paul says, pray. Pray that God would deliver us. Pray for power, that they might have the power to preach the gospel to ungodly and wicked men, men who want to take their lives, men who want to stop their ministries. Pray that they might have the power to do the thing that God has called them to do. And then when he says, this gift of prayer that you bestowed upon us, he said, we're going to give you thanks for all that you pray with us about. Then turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians chapter 6. And in the 6th chapter of the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul shares some more understanding about what our responsibility is to pray for God's people. Let's look at verse 18. You've read those verses before, 10 through 17, putting on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But you know, every soldier needs a war cry. Amen? I've read stories and I've talked with men who've been in World War II, men who've been in Korea, men who fought against the Vietnamese, and there was always a war cry. It was to put the fear of those they were battling against, put the fear into them so they'd want to run. The Christian soldier has a war cry. That war cry is found in verse 18 when Paul writes these words, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We can pray specifically for every missionary that this church supports by asking God to give them the ability to speak boldly. You ever notice when you're alone how easy it is to compromise or be tempted to compromise? You ever notice that? Well, I'll tell you what. Our missionaries are out there many times by themselves. Don't you think that for a minute that the devil doesn't want them to compromise? We need to pray that these men and women of God will speak up boldly for God in the face of whatever opposition comes their way. Because I want to say this to you, the enemy is unashamedly bold to get rid of them. Amen. We need to recognize that. They're in spiritual warfare just like we are, only their spiritual warfare is far more intense because they are truly dealing with the forces of wickedness from the pit of hell itself. Amen. You cannot imagine what goes on in many mission fields across the world tonight. Things, if missionaries stood before her and told you what was going on, you'd shake your head and say, I don't believe that's true. Believe it, it's true. Satan is wicked. Satan is predominant. Satan is at work in these foreign countries. We have a lot of people, for example, coming from foreign countries where animism is practiced. They're bringing it to America. We have people that are living in countries that believe in spiritism. They're bringing their spiritism to America. We have people that believe in the walking dead, and they're bringing that attitude to America. I don't understand. Maybe I'm just a little bit messed up or something. I don't know. But I don't understand why any believer would want to watch something on television about the walking dead. That's satanic. I don't care how you look at it. That is satanic. Just like Christians who got into all these books about vampires. That's satanic stuff. We need to leave that stuff alone. Don't give the devil an opportunity to get in your mind. Because when that happens, you won't be praying. And now think about this. I'm going to go to meddling a little bit more. I can think about many young people I know who were reading those books about vampires, never one time prayed for a missionary. Never one time read their Bibles. But they could sure tell you the stories about the vampires. People who watch The Walking Dead, they can tell you all about it. Can't wait to get to the next series. Well, I wish you had that same attitude about not being able to wait to get to God. Now, I'm going to tell you, if that offends you, I'm not going to apologize. I'm just saying God's sending you a heavenly message. Answer your cell phone. Used to be answer your telephone, but we have cell phones now. See, you know, nobody even knows what a telephone is anymore, I don't think, but we have a God that we need to go to for prayer, and we need to pray for our missionaries. Give supplication in the Spirit for your missionaries, that they would persevere, that they would overcome the wicked one, that they would be bold, not only to preach the gospel, but to live out the gospel, to be the kind of man or woman that God would want them to be. I think about a man in Vietnam who I met many years ago, Pastor Bai. I just found out that Pastor Bai went home to be with the Lord this year. What a great man. Oh, he wasn't much to look at, wasn't very big, but I want to tell you one thing. He stood tall for Jesus Christ. He started a church in Vietnam. People were getting saved. Our church helped buy a building for him to live in, bought a home for him to live in, for his people to meet in the church building of that house. The third floor was dedicated to worship. It was the place where the people met in their local church. We went to that church. We went to that house. We saw the people. We were with them when they came and arrested us for worshiping God in that church. After we left, Pastor Bai was persecuted continuously by the army, by the communists. They would come knocking on his door and they'd say, Pastor Bai, you need to quit preaching this gospel. You have too many people meeting in your home. And if you don't stop this, we're going to throw you in prison. He'd say, you do what you have to do. I'm going to do what I have to do. And bless God, he was faithful unto death. And I believe that when he walked into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ stood there and said, Brother Bai, welcome, good and faithful servant. Boy, I want to be like that. He stood up against the opposition time after time after time after time. And because he stood, in the last couple of years, they've had 1,000 people attending Bible rallies in Vietnam with no opposition from the communist government. That's how good our God is. You be faithful. You pray. Pray that God will encourage them. Verse 20, he says, pray that we might be ambassadors in bonds. Paul said, I'm an ambassador in bonds. I can't do anything but do what God has called me to do. These dear people cannot do anything but what God has called them to do. It would behoove us. It should compel us that we then pray for them because this is their life. So we pray that God will encourage them and help them in the work that they do. Then turn to the fourth of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. I don't know if you've caught this or not, but this is Paul the Apostle begging us to pray for him. Begging the church of his day to pray for him. Listen, if Paul begged the church of his day to pray for him, then certainly 21st missionaries need the prayer of the 21st century church. Amen? Amen. I doubt any of them would even begin to compare themselves with Paul. But they have just as important a ministry. They're not going to write half of the New Testament. Praise the Lord for that because it's written. You're not even into that, are you? You didn't catch that, did you? That's a zinger that went right by you. The Bible's written, amen? Amen? Paul wrote half of that New Testament. So no missionary would say, well, I'm like the Apostle Paul. No, you aren't. And even if you are, you're wrong, because we ought to be like Jesus. Amen. That's what Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Look at chapter 4 and read with me at verse 2. He said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. These missionaries often leave America to go to cultures that they know are impossible to reach without God. They deliberately go to places where the people either don't know anything about God, or if they do know God, hate Him. And those representatives coming are hated by that opposition. And yet, they still go. Paul said, as he went before those who hated what he was doing, those who were even so much in opposition that they stoned him, that they threw him in prison, they threatened his life, they did everything they possibly could to close him up, and yet he said, because of your prayers, I remain faithful. Here's what he's saying. Pray faithfully for us. Continually pray for us. Make it a habit to pray for us. Be thankful in your prayers for your missionaries. Pray that God will open doors for them, verse 3. Pray that God will give them the power to speak the way they ought to think or ought to preach, that they have power in their speaking. There is power in speech. Did you know that? Tremendous power in speech. Let me give an example. For every word in Hitler's Mein Kampf, 125 people died in World War II. For every word, 125 people died. The opposition is great, but our God is greater. We must pray. We must pray that God's servants will have the power of God upon their lives, that they may speak this gospel as they ought to speak it. How are they to speak it? In truth, in humility, in the power of the Spirit of God, preaching the whole counsel of God without compromise, recognizing that it's by the power of the Word of God that men are saved, but not only to preach it in word, but to preach it with their lives. We must pray. There'll be that kind of man, that kind of woman. Then look what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is really difficult, this one. Brethren, pray for us! Wow, I could just see him begging, brethren, pray for us. Because without your prayer, we have no power. Do you get it? Without our prayer, they have no power. That prayer ought to be purposeful. Let me give you just a few ideas. I mentioned earlier, pray that your missionaries and deputation finish the deputation. Pray when they get to the field, they'll be able to adjust rapidly. When they get there, they have to take everything out of their container and try to set up housekeeping somewhere, but that's only after they can find a place to live. And by the way, when you go to a foreign field, you go to call up a landlord, for example, you say, I'd like to rent a building for my church or rent a building to live in. He'll give you a price, and then when you go to pay the price and you get there, all of a sudden, oh, you're an American. That'll cost you four times more than what I said. That happens. What are you going to do? You have to have a place to live, right? So you pay it. That's a challenge. When they get to the field, they need to make the right kinds of friends. One missionary couple had led a lady to Christ. They were discipling her. They brought her into their home. She lived with them for 2 years. They discipled her for 2 years. She helped with the taking care of the children, the cooking of the meals, and the housekeeping. And one time, the couple decided that they and the children were going to go off for a couple of weeks vacation, asked if she'd be all right. Oh, yes, I'd be happy to take care of things while you're gone. They went off on vacation, came back after 2 weeks to find out that everything in their home had been stolen by her. A friend. Pray that God will give them the right kinds of friends. Friends that will stand by them. Friends that will encourage them. Friends that will pray for them. And while I'm speaking about friends, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass any of you. But do you have a friend on the mission field? Someone that you knew here now serving God somewhere. Did you say to them when you saw them off at the airport, God bless you, I'll never forget you, you're always going to be in my heart? And then after they were gone 6 months, you never even thought about them again? I was preaching a message like this one night. After the service, I went to the back of the church. A lady came up to me with tears streaming down her face. She took my hand and she said, I want to thank you. I said, I'm sorry. She said, no, I want to thank you, Pastor Ron. She said, I made that promise, and I've neglected it. Tonight I'm going home and call my friend on the field. Out of sight, out of mind is too easy for us. That's why we must keep these precious people before our faces, before our eyes, before our hearts, that we might pray continually for them. Pray they'll be faithful. I'm so alarmed when I hear about missionaries who are coming home after the first 4 years, never to go back to the field. Or missionaries who get there and find out it's not the romantic experience they thought it was going to be, and before they even get into the second year, they've come home. Pray that God will finish his work in them and they'll be faithful. Pray that they might keep a fellowship relationship with God on a regular basis. Again, it's very easy to get caught up in another culture, to get caught up in another lifestyle, and to tend to forget what it is you're there about. But the only way we can truly, honestly serve God, whether on the mission field or here at home, is if we know what God wants us to do by getting to know him. And the only way to get to know him is to be in his word, to fellowship with him, so he can fellowship with us, and then out of what he tells us, we become the man, the woman, the young person of God that he wants us to become, so we can do the thing he's called us to do. Pray they'll stay in fellowship. Pray for their families, especially their children. It's not easy to be away from grandma and grandpa and the things that are familiar. Pray they'll have faith to do the thing God's called them to do. Pray that they'll be delivered from their fears. And believe me, on the foreign field, there are many things to be afraid of. It's not just the bugs and the spiders and the snakes and the crocodiles and the alligators. That's nothing compared to the governments. That can change overnight. And they don't just come in and say, oh, you're out of office now, we're going to move in on you. No, they take people's lives. Amen. I have a missionary friend who has been robbed 62 times. And he lives around the corner from the police station. That's hilarious. One time I said to him, Tom, you must be a very slow learner. Why, Brother Ron? You got robbed 62 times and you haven't put security on your house? Well, he said, we decided to do that recently. I said, well, finally, you know, come on. Well, he put the security in and they still broke in. Now, to help protect himself, every morning he makes donuts for the police and goes and takes them to the police station. Even Brazilian police officers like donuts. Well, the tragedy is one night, 2:00 in the morning, and by the way, he and the police chief became very good friends. And he's witnessed to these police officers. He's told them why he's there. They know what his purpose and cause is. And he's able to get into public schools and get into places that the average missionary would never get into. Started a half a dozen churches, doing a great work for God. But one night, the police chief got a call at 2:00 in the morning to come to the police station. And right in front of Tom's home, he was ambushed and killed. Now, I know we have shootings here in America. We just had a tragic experience in a school in Oregon just this week. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't go out of my house thinking somebody's going to shoot me. But in the mission field, that's a very real concern. And particularly in some countries, it's worse than others. One night in South Africa, a missionary family heard a knock on the door. They opened the door, and there were three armed, masked men with rifles. They came in to assault that missionary's wife and daughters, to ravage them. He stood before them, and they took their butt of their rifles and smashed him to the ground. They fractured his skull, fractured his cheekbones, fractured his nose, fractured his eye sockets, knocked him unconscious. When he came to, thank God, his wife and daughters had been delivered. They left. I think they left because somebody was praying. They may not know what was going on, but they knew they needed to pray. There was something in their spirit that God said, you need to pray for this brother by name and pray for his family. And God delivered them. That's the kind of thing that can happen to missionaries. If it happens here, we call the police, and the police do something about it. In a lot of those countries, you call the police, and they just ho-hum. Well, too bad. Hope you make it. And that's about the end of it. So pray for them. Pray that they will face their foes with courage and get the victory. Then 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is the sixth and final verse. What a tremendous lesson for us. Amen? Thank you, Paul. You're reminding us so much of what we need to be doing for God's people. But in chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 2, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. I think I'm in the wrong scripture. I have Timothy and I want 2 Thessalonians. I said, no, that's a good verse of scripture, but that's not about prayer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's look at this one. Finally, brethren, this is it. Pray for us. All of you are wondering, what in the world is he talking about, right? I really didn't change my message. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. I like that last verse, and does this not fit with what you heard tonight? Notice the last phrase in verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Mr. and Mrs. Vanderhoof, God's been glorified through you, dear folks, for what you've experienced. That verse fits you. That could be your testimony, along with everything else we've heard. You see, God's word needs free course. This is not man's work. This is God's work. But man is in direct opposition to it. And without direct prayers to give men who are serving God on the mission field, with their wives and their families, God's word will not have that free course. God's word is to be glorified. Souls are to be saved. God's word is to accomplish God's work, but it will not happen unless we who are here supporting them, support them with our prayers. A lot to be praying about, isn't there? When's the last time you thought about any of this? Did you ever think about any of this? And I can tell you right now that this is my testimony to you. Because I was guilty of praying generally. Dear Lord, bless our missionaries. If they're sick, heal them. If they need money, give it to them. And I never got down to dealing with what they really deal with until they taught me. May God help us tonight to recognize that our missionaries deal with unreasonable, wicked, ungodly men, and that the only way that they can get the victory over Satan's foes, Satan's instruments against them, is if God's people faithfully pray. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Tonight, as God has spoken to you, I wonder, as you're standing there, if you need to come to this altar and say, dear God, I've not been praying as I ought to pray, but God has spoken to my heart tonight, and I want to be that prayer man or woman who prays specifically for our missionaries. You'd say, yes, that's me. Would you come and join me here tonight? I want to be more faithful in my praying for our missionaries. That's right. God bless you. Come. You say, I don't like to come to the altars. I get nervous. Then sit down where you are and make that seat your altar, all right? You can do that. Others of you, would you come? Have you been praying specifically for your missionaries? Or are you praying generally? Generally, prayers, folks, are not going to work. They're better than nothing, but they're not really going to work. We need to pray specifically. Will you come and join us tonight and say, yes, I'm going to be a prayer warrior for our missionaries. I'm going to learn to hear their needs, to know what they are, and pray specifically. Will you come and join those who've come, or would you sit where you are as a testimony to God you're going to pray? How many of you pray specifically already? Would you raise your hand? There are specific things you pray. Thank you. What about the rest of us? My, many hands not raised. You're going to be held responsible for how you pray for your missionaries. If that missionary comes home from the mission field, you will be held accountable for not praying. I believe with all my heart. May God help us to humble ourselves and pray. Pastor, come and lead us in prayer, please.